This hearing of the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:31 p.m. Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. We're in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Senator Dunbar. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Community and Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Joseph Giesbrecht from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. We have two items on our agenda today. First, House Concurrent Resolution 8, honoring Vietnam veterans by Representative Shaw, and then Senate Joint Resolution 20, weather observing system outages, sponsored by the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Our first item of business, HCR 8, we heard on March 26th. At that time, we took invited and public testimony and set the resolution aside. Today, I would like to look to the will of the committee. Representative Shaw, says unable to join us, but he is here. Representative Shaw, do you want to come forward, or and your staffer, Buddy Witt, and if you have any closing remarks, I'm sure my colleagues would love to hear them.
Thank you, Senator Dunbar. Lanny Shaw, representative from District 9. I would just like to thank you for hearing the resolution. My generation didn't get a whole lot of credit when they came back from Vietnam, and I've had my veteran status questioned more than once. So seeing this resolution passed, and Senator Dunbar and Senator Bjorkman cross-sponsoring this as well, I'm very thankful on behalf of my generation. About 300,000 of my fellow veterans didn't make it back due to Agent Orange, and it's really by the grace of God that I was never affected by it. So what you're doing on behalf of my fellow warriors, I'm very thankful, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions for Representative Shaw? I'm not seeing any. At this time, I would entertain a motion to move the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Concurrent Resolution 8, Work Order 33LS1314/B Bravo, from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Excellent. Okay, not seeing. Is there any objection? All right, I'm not seeing any objection. We will briefly go at ease while members sign the committee report. All right, coming back on the record, our second and final item of business is Senate Joint Resolution 20, sponsored by the committee. We will hold an introductory hearing today, hear invited in public testimony, and set the resolution aside. Ariel Wiggin, Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee aide, will introduce the resolution.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Ariel Wiggin, Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee aide. Senate Joint Resolution 20 urges Congress to rectify shortcomings in our state weather observation systems. More than 80% of communities in Alaska cannot be accessed by the road system, and we are the most sparsely populated state. These critical weather observation systems are frequently disrupted or simply not present in areas that are extremely essential across the state. There are officials online who are much more knowledgeable than I, so I want to defer to them. But the type of equipment used in the lower 48 isn't sufficient for Alaska, so our vast and unique geography presents distinct challenges. I urge you, our commitment is to prioritize safety and aviation. We want to address the six fatal commercial crashes in Alaska between 2010 and 2020, where weather was a cause or factor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wiggin. Senator Hughes, I want to acknowledge you're in the room today. Would you like to come and set invited testimony, speak briefly to this bill?
Thank you, Senator Dunbar and members of the committee. I want to come to the table because I want to thank you for sponsoring the resolution. As you know, we're past the point of personal legislation, and this has risen to the attention. And just a bit of background, in my communication with the transportation staff for our federal delegation in D.C., what you're going to hear about today was known back in 2018. I believe that was when the last work was done on the FAA reauthorization bill. So this was information that was a problem, and attempts were made to address it. So now we're at the point where we really need to get very specific and make sure it gets addressed. And you will hear from our expert testifiers why. I will say that this resolution is very specific and lays out the facts and the background information beautifully because of the contribution of many that are going to testify before you today. Sometimes resolutions are a bit broad and general, and then you have to hear from the testifiers to know all the details. You're going to have it in writing, and you're going to get to hear it too. But I will just mention the intersection and why I brought this to Senator Dunbar, and to ask you to carry it is because my work on food security, one of our committees was a transportation and infrastructure committee. And in their work, they were looking particularly at the rural communities and the food spoilage problem that was happening. And one of the reasons it was happening was because of the delays caused by the outages in these automated weather observation systems. And so we brought it forward, and I want to thank particularly Dr. Mike Jones with ICER, who was a lead on that work, because as the conversation has picked up and he's done presentations before, for instance, the Alaskan Airmen's Association and others, we have been able to raise the awareness of the problem. And so we're very excited because there's language both on the House side in Congress and on the Senate side that is being worked out that will be particular on this issue, but really drilling down to make sure that this time it actually gets solved. And it's not just about food, as you know, it's about passenger service, I think particularly in a medical emergency for planes to be able to get in and out. And of course, it impacts cargo and many other things. So I think it's important that we as a legislature speak up on this issue. And I think it will, I know our federal delegation has told us before these resolutions can be really important, but we are a unique state when it comes to aviation and the number of communities that rely on planes being able to get in and out. And I think our corporate voice on this issue will help this really begin to be addressed in a tangible way in the coming next couple of years. So with that, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to say a few words.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. So we have online, we have Troy LaRue, the Division Operations Manager for Statewide Aviation. He's available for questions. We also have six people online for public testimony. So I'm going to open public testimony. See, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify to this item? Not seeing any. So we're going to go down the line here. Again, we've got six people. We're going to start with Mr. Will Day, the Executive Director of the Alaska Air Carriers Association. Mr. Day, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Senator. My name is William Dam, the Executive Director of the Alaska Air Carriers Association. I'm here to testify on behalf of the importance of access to reliable weather observation systems, also known as AWAS systems throughout Alaska, and their critical importance in providing air service throughout our rural communities that are beyond the road system. So in a nutshell, essentially what we're talking about are our communities that are in rural locations beyond the main highways, beyond other roads that access these communities. They often have access to critical services through marine transport and aviation only. And so when we're talking about critical resources via air, we're talking about emergency transportation, so medevac, urgent medications, food supplies, other supplies that are essential to ensure livelihood. So when the way the system functions, when weather conditions are poor, when cloud ceilings are low, other specific requirements require our commercial air carriers to use what are called instrument flight rules. These rules require access to weather observations and destinations. So if you're flying from one rural community to a hospital somewhere else, you have to be able to access the weather observation at the rural community to pick up the person who's injured and then take them to the hospital. And if you don't have access to that observation, you simply cannot go. So if you are in a rural community that does not have a functional weather observation system and you have a heart attack or something of similar magnitude and you require medevac, then you might find yourself waiting beyond your ability to do so. You might die of that heart attack before the weather clears sufficiently. So if, on the other hand, that weather observation system is functioning, our commercial air carriers are able to come in, pick you up, and then take you to that hospital. So that's what we're talking about right now, is the importance of these transportation routes, which require weather observation systems. I have several folks who are here with me today who can talk about specific examples of situations in which that might be paramount. So I would like to invite those folks, if anybody has a story that can articulate the critical importance of AWAS systems to provide this transportation, please do so.
Thank you, Mr. Day. Are there any questions for Mr. Day before we move on to our next testifiers? I'm not seeing any. Thank you very much for your testimony. I'll note for the record that Dr. Jones is online but will no longer be giving testimony. So we have four remaining folks. We'll go next to Dan Kinesic, the Vice President of Commercial for Grant Aviation. Mr. Kinesic, are you there? Or Nesic?
Yes, sir.
Well, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Hi, my name is Daniel Kinesic. I'm Vice President of Commercial Operations with Grant Aviation and also a member of the board of directors of the Alaska Air Carriers Association. I appreciate you all listening to us today and accepting our testimony on behalf of all of the air carriers as well as Grant Aviation for the state of Alaska. To add to Will's point, the advocating on behalf of Grant Aviation and of air carriers in the state for me has been all about infrastructure and the lack of. I spent most of my career flying in the lower 48, and I've only been in Alaska for about the last 13 years. And when I first started flying up here, it was shocking to me the lack of infrastructure and the lengths that air carriers and pilots have to go through just to get to fly from point A to point B, let alone provide services that all other people of the United States possibly take for granted. It's not just about getting a passenger from point A to point B. It's about providing them the food that they need to survive. It's about providing the medicines that they need to survive in a timely manner. And as well as the medevac operations. When I first started advocating, it was about getting weather reporting in all villages. It is at this point at Grand Aviation, we serve, I believe, over about almost 60 communities, and about 30% of them have a weather reporting system. And on any given day, more than half of those are out of service or do not have a or have some sensors that are out of service or are considered working, but are not, you cannot receive the weather. There's times when we have to provide a radio to a village agent in the village so we can call them and they can play the weather reporting over the radio onto the phone call just so we can receive the weather briefing in order to be legal to fly IFR to that destination. And that's just some of the different ways that we get creative to get to that destination. But most of the destinations we fly to, we have to fly VFR. And in a lot of those, the time of year, we have low ceilings and lower visibilities. We're flying at 500 feet carrying passengers to these destinations, which is not a safe form of travel. The safest form of travel is IFR, and we are not legally allowed to fly under instrument flight rules to a destination under Part 135 without an approved weather source. And that's another challenge, because that is an approved weather source is what the FAA approves, such as their AWOS stations. Right now, that does not necessarily allow for commercial services. There are companies that are out there now that can provide weather reporting that we'd like to see the FAA approve, that would allow us air carriers to use those services in order to provide these services to the communities. And that's another challenge that we face. But one of the biggest challenges we have with the existing infrastructure we have right now is that they are so antiquated that they are not in service regularly. The telco, which is one of the, they are highly dependent on the copper wire communication systems as of right now. And as we all know, we all use cell phones this day and age, and the copper wire systems have been allowed to deteriorate, which is what the FAA relies on to communicate, for these weather stations to communicate. The final thing I want to point at is weather forecasting. These weather stations, the National Weather Service, depends on the data that they receive from the very few weather reporting stations that are out in rural Alaska to create their weather forecasts and accurate weather forecasting. So the more of these weather stations that are out of service, the less accurate of the forecasts that we do get. So these systems and lack thereof are directly connected to the safe travel and the livelihoods of everybody that lives off the road system throughout this state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kinesic. Are there any questions for Mr. Kinesic? Not seeing any. Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll go now to Brian Weckworth. Mr. Weckworth, could you please put yourself on the record, identify yourself and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony? Mr. Weckworth, are you there? Okay, we are not hearing. We'll come back to Mr. Weckworth. We'll go let's go to Greg Dyer. Mr. Dyer, are you there?
Mr. Chair, this is Greg Dyer. Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Greg Dyer. I work for Wolpert. I support Mr. LaRue and Statewide Aviation, and last year conducted an aviation infrastructure gap analysis for Alaska. My comments are that the weather information topic that is at hand is a complex one, and my role here isn't to advocate to this committee as much as it is to be a resource if there are technical questions. I would just introduce it as saying the reliability problems that have been mentioned by the previous testimony are significant, but it's built up from what do aviators need for weather information in order to conduct safe flight in Alaska and serve the community needs that Mr. Knesic talked about. What are the regulations that the FAA puts in place to govern that information? And what's the hardware performance and communications performance that supports all of that? It takes all of those things. This complex topic has been dealt with pretty significantly in the words in the FAA reauthorization bill that the House passed. And we're excited to see that reconciled with the Senate version soon. But I think technology right now gives us an opportunity to reimagine those regulations that govern weather information, the hardware that provides the weather information, and pilot needs, and bring them all together in a more supportable fashion than has been possible over the past decades. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony and be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dyer. Are there any questions for Mr. Dyer from the committee? Not seeing any. Thank you again. All right, we will go. Let's try Mr. Weckworth again. Mr. Weckworth, are you there? Can you hear us? Okay. We can't hear you. Perhaps you're on mute. All right. Well, I would suggest, Mr. Weckworth, we can't hear you. Okay. He said, sorry, not able to activate microphone. Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I would urge you to please put your comments in writing and email them to the committee. And the committee, we have a new email address, scra@akledge.gov. And so if you could please email your comments, you just said will do. We will get them to the rest of the committee. All right. With that, we'll go to our final testifier, Mr. Dan Owen. He's the owner of Alaska Air Transit. Mr. Owen, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Yes, my name is Dan Owen. I'm the owner and operator of Alaska Air Transit. As of tomorrow, it'll be 20 years in this industry. I share more with Dan Knesic than a common first name. I also had quite a bit of background flying, not just in lower 48, but all over the globe for a major airline. And part of that, the U.S. Navy off of carriers. I guess one of the things I'd like to do is I took a look at this issue today with regard to some of our operations. We had a charter today for Lower Yukon School District. Our job was to go out to Scammon Bay and Hooper Bay and pick up these school kids. Neither one of the AWAS was functioning 100%. The Scammon Bay AWAS was completely out of service. The NOTAM that's issued against it says that it's been out of service since the 29th of March and estimated a repair return to service date of May 25th. Hooper Bay, the AWAS is not available other than by phone. And so that is one of the issues is connectivity and several issues around these things. Reliability of the AWAS themselves, if they do frequently fail. Connectivity so that we can get the information. There's something called what's called the NADA, National Airspace Data Interchange Network. And that's the means by which AWAS data gets from the AWAS itself is promulgated to users such as National Weather Service, the FAA, third-party providers, flight service stations, ADS-B, which is our aircraft onboard weather information source. That connectivity, Dan mentioned, I think, that the copper technology is what's still being used. There's new things out there. There's, for example, cellular modems that can be used in place of copper. So reliability, connectivity, another issue is maintenance. And I just told you that the AWAS in Scammon Bay has been out of service since March 29th. It's scheduled to be returned to service May 25th. And that's not uncommon to see a long time out of service to get these things back working. Another issue, and it's not a major issue, but it does happen, is accuracy. There's some circumstances where during extreme cold weather, the AWAS will simply be inaccurate. They'll report something like a 1/4 mile visibility and freezing fog, and there's cameras co-located. You can look and see it's clear and sunny. But I highlighted some of the issues, and I'll try to hit some of the consequences. Dan also mentioned some of those, but the business impacts, for example, flight cancellations, loss of revenue due to cancellations. We had several this winter where we couldn't go to a place because they were IFR. We could tell that by looking at the cameras. We are capable of flying instrument procedures, but we couldn't do that legally because the AWAS were out of service. There's an impact in terms of access to medical care. That's already been mentioned. But there's other essential services to communities that are impacted. For example, technicians need to go out and repair a boiler in a school or a generator system. Those sorts of things also require access, and that access is severely hampered during instrument weather conditions because of the lack of an AWAS. I think safety has already been mentioned, but lack of accurate weather information has played into a lot of accidents in Alaska. One of the impacts, how that plays out, is if you're going to a community that has an instrument approach, but the AWAS is not working, or there is no instrument approach, or no AWAS, then we would have to go to a nearby community where there is an instrument approach, fly the approach, get to visual conditions, and try to make it from that airport to the actual destination, and sometimes in marginal weather. And those are far reduced safety margins from having an approach at the destination that we can use because there's approved weather sources there. So that concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Owen. Are there any questions for this testifier? Not seeing any. I'll ask again, is there anyone in the room who'd like to testify? Okay, and I don't believe there's anyone else online. So with that, I'm going to close public testimony. If the public has any written comments, please email them to the committee members and to scra@akledge.gov. Are there any additional questions from committee members before we set this aside? Not seeing any, we will set this resolution aside and hopefully bring it up at a future meeting soon. With that, I want to thank everyone for a productive hearing. The next meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee will be next Thursday, April 11th, or I'm sorry, I guess it's this Thursday, April 11th, 2024. We will take up Senate Concurrent Resolution 13 for an initial hearing and consider a committee substitute for Senate Bill 174. The time is 2:00, and this hearing is adjourned.